morning. Welcome to the Cornerstone Baptist Church. We are thrilled that you're with us. This is Father's Day, June 21st, 2020. And we are in 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, looking at the part where David is talking to his boy Solomon. 2 Kings chapter 2, and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel." Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for our opportunity to look into it. And God, I pray that you would bless it as we talk to dads this morning. But the truths we share would span all men, women, boys, girls, all generations. I pray that you'd help us to be determined to set an example that people could follow. Bless this time, please. In Jesus' name, amen. The picture is interesting to me. David has been king in Israel for 40 years, and he was on his deathbed. Solomon, one of David's many sons, was chosen to be king. Solomon was in his early 20s. I don't know what kind of relationship they had as Solomon was growing up. On a personal note, with my dad and I, we did some things together. He worked hard, but he made time for us. We went hunting. We did fishing. We had time just doing things together. We worked together as well. And so Dad didn't always feel like he had to entertain us as kids, but he certainly set an example for us. And obviously, there's not a lot said about what David and Solomon may have done when he was growing up. Obviously, David would have been king, would have been busy. It seemed at times David was not the ideal father. But of course, he tried to transfer onto his family the things that he believed and stood for. And so he is talking in our passage this morning in 1 Kings chapter 2, and it's very interesting to me that he says, I go the way of all the earth. You and I have an expiration date stamped on us that only God knows when it is. But to go the way of all the earth, David was speaking of his demise, of his death. And so here he was, and he was laying on his deathbed, and he is challenged to his son Solomon, was I go the way of all the earth, be strong therefore and show thyself a man. That's interesting to me. Really, what he's saying to his boy is, Solomon, man up. Man up. I don't know the emotional attachment. There's been times in my life where I got emotionally involved in things, and my father wasn't too impressed. And we did a garage talk this week, and what you don't see everything that we record, and some things make the cuts and some things don't. And what did not make the cut was a story that I shared with my father when we were I was buying the business from him. I was newly married, only been married for about a month, and we were doing inventory in the garage, and Dad looked at, was going over some things, and he was down in a corner, and I'm writing notes and things and seeing, writing on the page all the things that I'm buying from my father, and he was just doing what he was doing, and I was doing what I was doing. We'd always worked together, and it suddenly occurred to me that I am moving forward. I'm buying this business from my father that he is no longer going to be involved with. It'll no longer be Dad and son working together. It'll just be me, and Dad's going to go do whatever Dad wanted to do, and he did that. And so on. I started to get a little bit emotional on that thing. It was ridiculous. We're doing inventories, just the two of us, and I started crying. Now, how pathetic is that? And Dad was not impressed. He said, "What's the matter with you? Are you crying?" And I don't know what Solomon was doing as he's looking at his dad laying on his deathbed and his father's giving him a challenge, but I wonder if there was an understanding there that Solomon's moving forward and Dad is going to stay. He's no longer going with us. But Dad's concern was that he be a man. And in verse number 4, his concern also was there was not, I'm not calling this selfish, but the realization was pointed out in verse number 4 that the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me. David said, which he's talking about me. And it was Solomon's responsibility to carry on the things that David had started, the precepts, the challenges, the rites, the things taught in God's word. And if he did that, then generations after him would sit on the throne of Israel. And if he did not do that, then generations after him would not sit on the throne of Israel. And David said, I want you to carry out these things so that God will be able to do the things that he promised to me. What was David's advice to his son? Years ago, we would say, man up, man up. Now, I'm concerned that boys and young men would even know what that phrase would mean today. We don't hear man up anymore. We hear the old days in the 70s, you were called a male chauvinist pig if you were a guy that stood for something. Now the new term in the 2000s is toxic masculinity. Like men are a cancer, they're an acid that will eat at you if you're around them. Toxic, poisonous. I don't think that's what the Bible teaches about manhood, and I don't know that that's a fair rap for men to have. But that's where we are, man up. We're told that anatomy no longer represents what your sex is. You can be what you feel like regardless of what you see in the mirror. Isaiah 5:20, just a little warning, and we'll move on here. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And even Isaiah back in his time was saying, whoa, whoa. Watch out, society, that you no longer care about what men and women look like. Watch out, society, that you no longer care about how you raise boys and girls. Watch out, society, for those times where you think that gender doesn't matter, because it does matter. God created us in his image, male and female created he them. You are set in the cast that God created you in. Man, you are to be a man. Woman, you are to be a woman. And whatever it is that God has called upon you to do, you need to be fulfilling that role. Be a man. If someone pulled into a garage with a vehicle that had a blue oval on it, we'd know that's a Ford. It would say Ford in that blue oval. And if you were talking to your mechanic and said, I'm driving this Toyota, the mechanic would look at that car and he'd say to himself, no, that's a Ford. It was created as a Ford. Ford built that car. Toyota has nothing to do with it. If you're driving a Ford and calling it a Toyota, that's not real bright. And if you're walking around in a body that God made a man and you want to call it something else, that's just as stupid. Pardon the candor. David looked at his son and said, be a man. What did you mean, David, when you told your son to be a man? Well, let's look at our text. There are several thoughts here on Father's Day that I'd like to share with you. In verse number 3, he says, and keep the charge of the Lord. Number 1, we're going to say a charge to keep. We have certain responsibilities when God puts us in this life. A charge to keep. There are several things that we could say into this point. Biblical principles are enumerated in the Bible. Things that we're supposed to carry out and do. Codes of conduct as well. The military is in the business of raising fighting men. Nowadays, we've gotten women into combat. That's a different subject altogether. I am not for women in combat. Women are to be protected, treated special, honored, loved, appreciated. Women are the homekeepers. Now, it doesn't mean that's their only role. They're capable of incredible things. And see, I get in trouble when I start saying that it's wonderful for a woman to stay home and be with the kids. What's wrong with society when we're afraid to talk about the role that God made women? Women are not supposed to carry an M16. It's not what God made them for. When I was young, which was seems to be longer ago now, but used to be that sugar and spice and everything nice, that's what girls are made of. That's what we were taught in school. That wasn't Bible, that was just understood. Ladies, you are awesome. You are special. I was told recently of a commander in the military, and I'm getting sidetracked here a little bit, but I think these things are very important in this day and age. A military commander said, I don't mind if women want to fight if it's an all-female army, and if men want to fight if it's all a male army, but when you put men and women together in a fighting force, the men can't help themselves but want to protect the females in the unit. And that is exactly understandable. I get that. That's how God made us. He wired us that way. And for men not to care about a woman and want to protect her goes against the very nature that God plugged into him. Oh, no, we can't do that. Yes, we can. Be a man. A charge to keep. Military says duty, honor, country. Duty, if you look up the definition, is that which a person owes to another. That by which a person is bound by natural, moral, or legal obligation. Reverence, obedience, and prayer to God are indispensable duties. The government and religious instruction of children are duties of parents which they cannot neglect without guilt. And obviously that was Noah Webster in 1828. I think we're redefining things a little bit different now about duty, but that's the purpose of duty. We are a feelings-driven society. If it doesn't feel good, we don't want to do it. We chase after satisfaction rather than results. We want it now, not later. We want the trophy before we run the race, not after the race has been won. We want all our rewards before any effort has been placed in it. That's pathetic. That's where we are in America today. Remember last week we were talking about in Philippians 3 and 13 and 14, the Apostle Paul was apprehended for a purpose. We talked about what God has apprehended us for, what he's grabbed us for. And in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, he says, brethren, I not account myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Talking about being a man, duty. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press towards the mark. I don't waltz towards the mark. I don't skip towards the mark. I'm pressing. I'm working. I'm trying. Forgetting those things behind me, I'm going forward in the purpose that God grabbed me for, and sometimes it's not easy. I don't know where the promises came that it's supposed to be easy. Where did someone say, oh, don't worry, it'll be easy? If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. I found that not everybody's trying to be a Christian. Everybody says, oh, you Christians, that's just no fun. You guys don't have a good time. Let me tell you something. The effort we put into serving our Savior is the most satisfying event. Work, toil, job, duty. Than any person ever came up with. I would rather work for Jesus Christ than play in the world. Man up. A charge to keep. Dr. Bob Jones Sr., the founder of Bob Jones University, used to say, do right, though the stars fall, do right. In other words, no matter what happens, if the sky falls, just continue to do what is right. Boy, in this world of expediency today, that is not how people operate. Character used to be emphasized in many areas of society. Sports used to teach team building, hard work, honesty. owning your errors. Commit a foul? We used to be taught, raise your hand. Yeah, that was my foul. I did that. Nowadays, put your hand down. Don't admit that. Coach would get mad at you if you admit that you've done something wrong. Don't do that unless they catch you. Now, if they catch you and you can deny it and get away with it, then you're all set. The only way you take responsibility for your actions is if you are caught and you can't get out of it. That's what we're teaching. You watch, especially in professional sports, you watch them on TV. Well, if they're called on something, oh, it's like the worst thing ever happened to them. It's idiocy. Lack of responsibility. And we wonder why our young people have no fear of authority. Because they've been taught, if I can get away with it. What a shame. Duty. Hard work equals success. Lack of work equals mediocrity at best. If you won without doing your best, it was an illegitimate victory. A charge to keep. David, what do you mean to Solomon? Man up, be a man. Well, number one, he's got a charge to keep. We'll say that charge to keep, going along with that, is duty. If you read in verse number 3, he goes on to say, the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his statutes and his commandments. Second C. First C, charge. Second C, commandments. Obviously, the list of commandments in the Bible, the Ten Commandments, are probably the most famous list in the Bible. But as far as the commandments to obey, let's call that honor, doing the right thing, the honorable thing. A great study in your Bible in your own time would be just the word honor. See all the things that the Bible has to say about it. Honor is to revere, to respect, to treat with deference and submission, and perform relative duties to, as in honor thy father and thy mother. That's what Noah Webster would say. Honor. Exodus 20:12 says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long on the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's an interesting promise. I think it's the fifth commandment of the ten. But Ephesians says it's the first commandment with promise. Now, it's the promise that if you honor your father and mother, your days will be long on the earth. Now, I want to take a little bit of time to examine that this morning, because the reality of it is I've known people. My first wife loved her mom and dad, absolutely honored them, yet she died young. And someone would say, how is it that that could happen? That obviously that verse is wrong. If her days are supposed to be long on the earth, it's not a guarantee individually that you will live longer. It's a guarantee societally. If we honor our parents and obey them and follow their commands and do the things that we are taught, as a society as a whole, our days will go longer. Because I'll tell you, and we'll finish with this a little bit, if the hearts of the fathers are not with the children, there's going to be a curse. And you look at society today and the riots in the streets and all the things that are going on and burning police cars and police precincts and all the hate and things that are happening, and you go back and just do a little family tree, if you will, and ask this question: where's dad? Where's the father of the rioters? Where's the home? Go knock on the door. Ask to speak with the father. Boy, that would be interesting, wouldn't it? Honor. Command to obey. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long on the earth. Proverbs chapter 3, 1 Samuel chapter 2. Honor the Lord. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Honor the Lord. Honor your father and mother. How about this, guys? Honor your wife. Ephesians chapter 5. If you want to take a little look at the home. It's amazing to me that a woman would be willing to live with me. It's amazing to me that any guy can get a girl. I know we talk about male chauvinist pigs and all that, but men, for the most part, I know guys, I am a guy. Guys are disgusting. There's nothing attractive about us. And to think that the fairer sex that God made, so special, so wonderful, there's so much I could say about that. But I'll tell you what, Emily, I adore you. Thank you for marrying me. And I am just so honored to have a wife. And guys, man up. Treat that woman in your life special. You probably don't deserve her. But God gave her to you. You make sure and spoil her. Rub her feet once in a while. Kiss her when the kids are looking. All of the things that she deserves. Buy her a new Ford truck every now and then. Now, I'm just preaching. Doesn't mean I'll do this, but that would be a good idea, okay? Honor your wife. Honor the Lord. Honor your father and mother. And another interesting one, 1 Thessalonians 4:4 says, possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. In that passage, if you look at it, we don't have time this morning, but in 1 Thessalonians 4:4, it's talking about honoring your body, your vessel. Taking care of this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in you. If you know Christ as your Savior, he's moved into you. What you do with this body, how you treat it, represents obviously what you think of yourself and obviously what you think of what God has given you to get you around in the life that he's blessed you with. Honor the Lord, your wife, yourself, your father and mother. Charge, the command. We'll say the charge is duty. We'll say the command is honor. And lastly, I want to finish with the third C. Charge, command, and Christian. I don't know of a greater term that a person could be called than Christian. It means that you're Christ-like, that you've trusted Christ as your Savior. I'd like to think that the greatest country in the world is a Christian country. And the reality of it is, with the decisions that we've made recently in the Supreme Court, where we have now given protected status to the LGBTQ alphabet community. I'm not throwing them under the bus. God loves them. We love them. Christ died for them. But they are making choices that is destroying their life. And the color of someone's skin is not chosen, but your behavior is chosen. And for us to relegate a status to someone by the choices that they make is absolutely wrong. And in doing so, it is contrary to what we are told that God's word teaches. And as a Christian, we are required to be a man, to speak the truth, and stand against something that is destroying lives. And the science is out there, the studies are out there. Those that have marred their bodies to try to change who they are only end up being disfigured male or female individuals that God has made them. I don't say this in hate, I say this in love, because we want so much to protect those poor people that are being lied to and used as pawns. Christian country. I believe that America, sad to say, as a Christian country, is a time of the past and not of the present. But I believe for us to be honored and blessed by God, then the home, the man, the country should be a Christian country. When David was telling Solomon how to be a man, he was quoting from Moses over 400 years earlier. He was referring to the text in Deuteronomy and Exodus where it talks about sharing faith, passing it on to the next generation. Deuteronomy 6:7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. How does a message last for hundreds of years then? And here we are teaching and preaching the same thing that David said 1,000 years before Christ. 3,000 years ago, this conversation was taking place. How is it we're still talking about that? Well, it's miraculous, it's momentous, and it's monumental. And the monument is this, that you are a monument. I am a monument. The life that we live either stands for something or falls for something. And just like you see a gravestone at a cemetery that says someone's name on it and maybe an epitaph, we are a living monument to a life in Christ that either makes sense or does not. By God's grace, I hope that we are living, walking monuments of the message of the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what was taking place. David wanted Solomon to teach them diligently unto thy children. Notice, and we're about done here, but notice this. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. You'll talk with them when they're sitting in the house, when you're walking in the way, when you're laying down, and when you get up. So someone would say, Stan, what are we supposed to talk about the things of the Lord? And well, you know what? You talk about it when you're in the car. You talk about it when you're in the house. You talk about it while you're at work. You talk about it when you're at home. You talk about it when you're at the playground. You talk about it when you've gone fishing. You talk about it when you go hunting. You talk about it all the time. I think a better question to ask would be this. When do we not talk about the things of the Lord? Because my Bible says you talk about it all the time. And I hope you do. Because the greatest thing we can do is to tell a man or tell a woman, tell a boy, tell a girl, tell your son, tell your daughter, tell your wife, tell your husband that Jesus saves and forgives and grants eternal life. And there are truth and there are lies. There is truth and there are errors. And this book right here is a monument, is a testimony to the truth. And the Bible says, when you know the truth shall make you free. Solomon, I go the way of all the earth. Be a man. Dad, your son is watching. Be a man. Dad, your daughter is watching. Be a man. Because you're going to go the way of all the earth. And they will have a charge to keep, a command to live by, and hopefully a Christian life to live. And in Malachi, the last verse in the Old Testament says this, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." I want you to know this. The Bible warns, Dad, if your heart is not for your family, if your heart is not for the things of the Lord, then your family will be cursed. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that the dads at the Cornerstone Baptist Church, that the dads that watch this message on the internet, that the dads that hear this message or read your word wherever they may be, would be a man, would love his wife, love his kids, and love his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and not be ashamed to say so. Lord, the time will come when Stan Griffin will no longer be here, and Phil, and Tori, Katie, Cody will be hopefully carrying on for you without me. And I pray that they would be the men and women that you called them to be. Thank you for my wife, for my mom and dad that are still with me, for my in-laws, for all the family. But Lord, most of all, thank you for Jesus Christ and for everyone that would be willing to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, be my Savior, forgive my sins. Help us to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.